Welcome to Sourcing Enterprise AI, a podcast by Upper Edge, a leading IT sourcing, negotiation, and project execution advisory firm. I'm John Belden, Chief Strategy and Research Officer.
And I'm Kylie Chisholm, Upper Edge's Content Marketing Manager. Join us every other week as we explore the impact of artificial intelligence and the critical issues IT decision makers and sourcing professionals will face.
The AI market is just in its infancy with new capabilities, new vendors, and a new competitive landscape and a boatload of risk. In each episode, we'll do a deep dive into a particular AI topic and explore the latest news releases and their potential impact on the market.
Empower your AI decision-making with vendor insights and fact-based sourcing strategies. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. Hi, John. How are you?
All right. Good morning, Kylie. How are you today?
I am good. It is February 1st when we are recording this, so happy February to our listeners. The first episode of the month, I think this one will be. But I am excited to dive into this week's episode. I know there's been a lot on the back end on your side of sort of how this episode came to be. And we are specifically focusing on generative AI and its impact on ERP implementations. That's like the crux of the episode. So to get us started, could you just give us a brief overview of the sort of back end preparation that went into today's episode and how you came to forecast the sort of 9 trends we're going to go over today?
So let me start with this. We're currently working with a client on an ERP negotiation for the implementation of SAP, and it's a global manufacturing client, probably $3 to $5 billion in revenue. And the question the CIO specifically asked, which was in line with our research, is, hey, there's a lot of stuff going on with generative AI. What is going to be the impact of generative AI on the systems integrators process? And what should I be thinking about from the perspective of generative AI as I go down this path of the implementation of ERP? So that was really the foundation for the research question that we were asked. And from that, you know, we kind of came up with, we obviously answered the mail in terms of what we thought was going to be the impact on their particular project. But from that request, we came up with 9 specific things that were, I'll call it our forecast for the future for 2024 as to what our clients should be looking for.
Yeah, and it's great that you were able to glean sort of 9 general predictions or forecasts for the year. I know this type of content is really relevant at the start of the year as companies are trying to plan ahead and, you know, sort of get ahead of the curve and the trends that we'll see in the market. So I guess let's just dive right into those 9 things. I know you took them and sort of lumped them into 4 distinct categories. So could you give us like a quick overview of what those categories are, where they, what trends, you know, go into each category, and then take a deep dive into each of those forecasts?
Yeah. So, you know, if we were to paint a really, really broad picture, you know, I would paint it as this. I would say 2024 is going to be the year of litigation, legislation, and acceleration. Right. And if we want to say within that framework, I'll break it down into four broad categories. There'll be an environmental category where we'll talk about lawsuits and litigation. Then I've got 3 specifically to what I'm going to refer to as the SI delivery model. Mm-hmm. So how are the systems integrators going to adjust their processes to consider generative AI? Then another category is on technology enablement, meaning what am I going to have to do in addition to regular ERP stuff in order to be able to enable my, I'll call it, business transformation. And then the last thing I want to touch on is I'm going to refer to as kind of general implementation methods. How are things like SAP's Activate going to be modified as a result of the implementation of, let's call it, generative AI?
Mm-hmm. So getting into sort of into the weeds, should we start with the environmental forecast?
Yeah. Yeah. So when I was thinking about the environmental forecast, you know, I think there's going to be two things that they're not going to necessarily directly impact the projects. And that is lawsuits and legislation. By lawsuits, I mean, I think in 2024, we're going to see a lot more of the things like the New York Times suing mm-hmm. OpenAI for content itself, right? And to build those LLMs. And I think we're going to see at least the inklings of legislation from both the EU and the US to say, okay, you have to do vendors a better job of explaining what the content is and where your content was derived from these LLMs in order to be able to protect the general public. Now, while those two things won't directly impact a project, what they are going to do is they're going to raise the risk profile and the awareness of generative AI, right? And raising the risk profile and the awareness is going to create more sensitivity within the organizations themselves that are putting in ERP and using generative AI. And so there's going to be a lot more, I'll call it, from your internal auditors and from your internal, I'll call it, your internal users, questions regarding, are we using safe AI? Right.
Yeah.
Where those questions probably wouldn't exist at the same level without this external force of everybody hearing about litigation and legislation. Right. That's going to amp those two things up. So I think those two things are going to amplify the risk profile associated with projects. And so therefore, you're going to need to consider that on your ERP implementations.
Sure. Yeah. And to your point, we've talked about this a lot in recent episodes between the New York Times lawsuit and even just that sort of distrust and weariness in the market around AI. And as AI companies are trying to push their products to the market faster. So definitely check out, you know, previous episodes where we've really dove deep into how that already has manifested in 2023. And I agree, we'll just see even more of it in 2024.
Right, right.
So now moving into the SI delivery model, I know you have three sort of forecasts to get through here.
Yeah. So in the SI delivery model, I really want to talk, I'll call it primarily about the competitive landscape of the of the SIs that are competing for your business in order to implement ERPs, whether it be Oracle, whether it be Workday, whether it be SAP. I think generative AI on a whole is going to level the playing field, right, between tier ones, tier twos, and tier threes. So tier one, think Accenture, Deloitte, IBM. Think tier two, think TCS, Infosys, et cetera. And tier three, think about the niche players. I think generative AI is going to level up tier three and tier twos, that they're going to have very comparable offerings to the tier ones in terms of their ability to implement ERP systems, and probably even more so when we think about the upgrade of an ERP system or going from ECC to to S4. I think these firms are going to be very, very competitive, and it's going to challenge the tier ones to differentiate themselves in some other means, which we'll talk about, right? But I think a kind of advice for our clients is if you are thinking about an upgrade, right, open up that, I'll call it, open up that span of the number of SIs that you might consider for that area in order to be able to get the best deal, right? So let's talk about that kind of as the first thing. The competitive landscape is gonna shift there. The second thing that I think is going to happen is that the software vendors, so SAP, Oracle, Workday, they're going to broaden their offerings of implementation services, right, to do more of the work that the SI would typically do, because they're going to be able to implement some of these AI tools to automate a lot of those processes. And I think the software vendors are going to be able to do that and embed those costs into, let's call it, the overall cloud costs associated with with a package, and they'll be able to spread those costs over a three-year period, making it part of the subscription costs. So that'll be lowering, let's call it, your overall entry cost to get into an ERP package, making them, I'll call it, essentially competing with the SIs in that space as well, right? And then with all of that competition, this brings us to kind of the third forecast. With all of that competition then, I think the tier one SIs are going to begin to differentiate themselves by bringing industry unique large language models, right, to those engagements, because companies like SAP and Oracle are setting themselves up to say, we're going to enable generative AI within our package, and you're going to be able to use the LLM of your choice to plug into our system. So I think what's going to happen is companies with the wherewithal, let's put Accenture, let's put IBM, let's put Deloitte into those categories, are going to get into the business of generating LLMs that are industry specific, that clients can plug into their SAP systems, and that will become the differentiator that they bring to the table, is my, I'll call it, my industry model. I think ultimately that's going to replace some of the templates that they come to the table with today. It's going to be my industry specific LLM. And I think we're going to see that over time.
It sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like it's really, all of this is going to really flip the sort of RFP process, the evaluation process for clients on its head, whether that be expanding, you know, the number of SIs they consider, or skipping an RFP process altogether and going with an incumbent software provider for the implementation.
And I think the RFP process, you know, again, we're kind of off on this, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I don't think I had it in my list of recommendations, but anybody that's going to an RFP, right, going through the RFP process right now, or going through the process of selecting a vendor, right? I don't think 2024 is the year to do sole source. Because I think 2024, there's going to be so much shifting in the environment itself, and so much shifting in terms of the competitive landscape, that if you choose to go down that sole source route, right, I can almost guarantee you, you are not going to get the best deal, and you're not going to get the best partner to go forward with, because there's no motivation whatsoever for your sole source dealer to expose to you all of the additional capabilities that are going to be out there for generative AI.
That's a really good point to bring up. So moving into the technology enablement side of things, what are the sort of two trends that you're forecasting here?
So in this space, I think we're going to see, first of all, setting up your ERP system, I think, is going to get a lot more complex than it is today. And today, you know, when you're getting into ERP, I'm going to say the vendors like Oracle and the vendors like SAP are coming to the table with, well, we're going to give you RISE, right? Or we're going to help enable that cloud environment for you. But when you do your SAP deal, you're doing a software deal, you're doing a cloud deal, you're doing an infrastructure deal, I think that there's going to be increased complexity in those negotiations to consider now how I'm also going to enter these LLMs and the generative AI architecture and infrastructure that's required in order to be able to push this forward, right? So now you're going to have to be thinking about, oh, I might have to deal with AWS, or I might have to do a deal with Google in order to be able to enable, right, this whole, I'll call it, infrastructure. So I think companies are going to be wise to consider upfront, right, what their AI infrastructure is going to look like, because they're going to have to marry it to their ERP infrastructure going forward.
And then moving into the implementation methods, what are the two sort of forecasts that we see on that front?
Yeah. So, you know, what I thought about this one for quite some time, because I've been, you know, Kylie, as you know, I've been doing ERP implementations for, you know, longer than you've been alive. And as I thought about the methodologies themselves, you know, there's always been this agile versus waterfall, and, you know, that I'll call it, it's been out there for a long time. And agile over the last 10 years, I think has overtaken the concept of a waterfall methodology. I think generative AI is going to completely wipe out the waterfall methodology, and it's going to wipe out the waterfall methodology because of the speed that you're going to be able to go from requirements to code, which mm-hmm. is really kind of what waterfall methodology was driving, right? That says, okay, you got to do your requirements, then you got to do your design, then you got to do your code, then you get ready to do testing. With the mm-hmm. technology that's going to be available in generative AI, it's going to completely, I'll call it, squash the first three or four steps in that waterfall process. And so mm-hmm. therefore, Agile is going to become more dominant because you're going to be able to get everything completed within a sprint, and you won't have things kind of going across multiple sprints. So I don't think the vendors themselves are going to be pushing waterfall methodologies anymore. I think what you're going to see is a Gen AI enabled Agile methodology, right? That'll probably come onto the market. If it's not in here by the end of the year, I think you're going to see it next year for sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I think the other thing that's going to come out in that methodology space is, you know, when you think about ERP implementations, you typically think about, well, I've got a technology track, I've got a development track, I've got a testing track, I got a data track. Mm-hmm. You also have an organizational change management track on managing business change, right? And when I look at generative AI and I look at all the tracks within an ERP implementation, the track that is least impacted by generative AI is going to be the organizational change management track. Because generative AI is going to least impact organizational change management and the activities mm-hmm. of organizational change management, it's going to increase the probability that organizational change management activities are now on the critical path of your ERP implementation. So it's going to mm-hmm. raise the profile, right, of importance of those organizational change management activities.
Yeah.
Most organizational change management activities are driven by the client, right? Mm-hmm. So because most of those are driven by the client, it's going to reduce the risk profiles associated with the systems implementation providers. And so mm-hmm. I would anticipate that it's probably going to raise the number of change orders that we see and programs being elongated because of clients' inability, I'll call it, to meet their obligations of organizational change management activities on a program, because that's going to be the least impacted by generative AI.
It's like the most human-oriented track.
Exactly. If you will. That's exactly right. Yeah. That's a good way to think about it, right? And because yeah. of that, I think it's going to create, it's going to create more delays, but it doesn't mean that ERP programs are going to be longer than what mm-hmm. they are today, right? What sure. it means is they're initially going to be estimated to be shorter than what they are today mm-hmm. because of the impact of generative AI. And yeah. then the organizational change management track is going to push them back to probably, yeah. you know, where we're at today.
That's a really interesting takeaway. And so I am curious, this was like a great way to give a lay of the land. Here's what to expect in 2024. And we started to even dive into a little bit on your client recommendations, but I know you have some recommendations for clients listening to the episode right now on what they can actually do with these trends that you're forecasting. So can you get into a little bit of what you recommend clients do moving forward?
Yeah. So there's five recommendations I'm going to make. Number one, I think every client should be an educated consumer, right? I mean, before you go on to your ERP implementation, read up on the generative AI, that space in general, right? Understand what the business opportunities are going to be. Understand where the cost reduction opportunities are going to be on ERP, and then understand where your risk profile is, right? An educated mm-hmm. consumer is always, you know, the best buyer. And from the standpoint of an SI, right? My experience has been SIs perform very well when there's an educated consumer. If you are not an educated consumer, most SIs don't know how to work within that, I'll call it within that framework, and you're going to talk mm-hmm. past each other, right? So number one, yeah. educated consumer. Number two, I think it's really important for a client before they embark on an ERP implementation to consider what is going to be their generative AI strategy in the future. What is the technology that they're going to use? What is their plans for doing it? Are they going to take an approach that says, we're going to do generative AI internal to our ERP? Or are we going to do generative AI external to our ERP? Are we going to do a combination of both? And it's really important as they're going through their phase zeros for companies to consider what that strategy is, because it's going to impact your ERP implementation costs.
Yeah.
Okay. The third recommendation is if you're going through an RFP process to select a systems integrator, right? It's really important that you drive full transparency as to where that systems integrator is going to apply generative AI in their processes. Now, you may come across the scenario, right, where the systems integrator says, well, we're going to do this at a fixed price, and you don't really need to understand where we're going to apply generative AI. You know, if you run into that scenario, you got to raise your hand immediately and say, hey, listen, you know, I'm the one that's accepting the risk associated with generative AI within my system. Mm-hmm. You need to expose to me where that risk is in your process. You know, that's going to open up the door then for the vendors to say, okay, this is where I'm using it. And then that's going to give you leverage to be able to negotiate a lower price, because now you're going to know exactly where they're applying that, right? Where that risk profile is and where the opportunities are. The fourth recommendation would be the systems integrators are going to develop and are developing a lot of methods, tools that are generative AI based to assist them in being more productive. Those same methods and tools, right, can be used by the clients in most situations, right? So, you know, when you're pushing companies like Accenture and Deloitte, and they're going to bring their tool sets to you to say, we're going to use our new flashy generative AI design tool, right? Oftentimes, and in most cases, if you push hard enough, they will make those tools available to your people as well, your internal people, right, to apply and use those tools, right, to do your responsibilities as well, making you more productive, right, and probably lowering the overall cost. So you want to force those systems integrators to, you know, kind of expose those tools to you and figure out how your team can also use them. And then the last recommendation is going to be, you know, we've talked about the risk profiles associated with generative AI, right? Put those systems integrators through their paces, right? In terms of the risk profile, right? And how they're going to mitigate your risk as a client. Make sure you check all the boxes on those risks. You know, I think in the end, it'll suit you well to pick the right systems integrator for you, knowing that they're mitigating your risks as well.
It's the trend to think of generative AI as a means of cutting back on work, but clearly there's still a lot of work to be done on the front end to make sure that generative AI is efficient and working for you, and that you pick the SI that is using it effectively and with the lowest risk profile for sure.
Right.
Well, this has been super helpful, John. And very interesting to think about. You know, I'll be curious to revisit this at the end of 2024 and see what came true. What can we adapt for 2025?
Put that on your tickler. Put that on your tickler list, right? And we'll come back and address it in episode 20 of this year.
Yep. Perfect. But so before we wrap up the episode, I do want to transition away from generative AI in the ERP space and chat a little bit about some recent news that we've seen out there. So I know there were some SAP announcements that came out recently. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's not too far of a tangent from ERP, because obviously SAP is a big ERP company. But SAP, I think within the last week, has announced that they were going to cut 8,000 jobs internally. Now, they said they were going to cut some of them. They're going to do through retirement. Some of them are going to transition to other places. But there was two interesting parts of that announcement from my perspective, right? One, they said they were going to cut jobs because of the internal impact of generative AI within the organization itself, right? And then the second was, we are going to devote more resources to generative AI. Now, I actually think, to a certain extent, SAP's announcement was a bit of advertising for the capabilities of generative AI, to be able to say, look, we're using generative AI. And as a result of generative AI, we're able to cut 8 to 10% of our workforce and obtain those savings, right? So what they're kind of signaling to the market is generative AI is real. We are going to put more generative AI into our tool at SAP. You should be buying our tool at SAP so that you can realize the same kind of savings from generative AI. So it's kind of one of those things, you know, oh, I got the savings, therefore, right, you should be able to get the savings as well. And I think we're going to see exactly the same thing from Deloitte, Accenture, and these other big firms, that they're going to start touting the efficiencies they got from generative AI as a mechanism to create more business going forward, because they're going to be the, they're going to be the poster child for savings.
Interesting. I'd be lying if I said it didn't sound a bit dystopian, but I think we are definitely going to see more of that in 2024.
I absolutely think we're going to see it a lot in in the first half of 2024.
Thank you so much, John. This has been a really productive conversation. Hopefully our listeners have gleaned some really great insights and recommendations moving into any evaluations that they have coming up in 2024. And definitely stay tuned for our next episode. But thank you so much, John.
All right. Talk to you later.
The topics discussed in today's episode were originated from John giving a briefing to the CIO of a global manufacturing company. And we wanted to remind our listeners that if you are interested in receiving the same briefing and tailored assessment and recommendations based on your company's unique situation, then you can head to upperedge.com and fill out our contact us form. Let us know that you are coming from Sourcing Enterprise AI, and we can help you get the same tailored specific recommendations that we were able to give this specific client for your unique needs. So that's upperedge.com. Fill out our contact us form and make sure to mention Sourcing Enterprise AI. Thank you so much for listening.
Sourcing Enterprise AI is co-hosted by John Belden and Kylie Chisholm and produced by Mike Brown. The podcast is brought to you by UpperEdge, a leading IT sourcing, negotiation, and project execution advisory firm. Make sure to subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss a new episode. For more innovative IT sourcing and risk mitigation insights, subscribe to the UpperEdge newsletter and follow UpperEdge on social media at the links in our episode description. Thank you for listening.